T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, want to welcome everybody here to this press conference here with my colleagues. We got the leader, the Republican leader here from the State Senate, Rob Ort. Thank you for joining us today, Rob. We got State Senator George Borrello and State Assemblyman Andy Goodell joining us today in a united fashion to talk about a couple of issues. But we just first want to thank the United States Coast Guard for a visit that we just did. Work with them to discuss the issues that they're facing and the mission that they do here in Station Buffalo. And I just got to tell you, the captain's team here has an outstanding performance record, and they took us out on the water. They explained to us their needs in regards to the search and rescue mission, that there's their priority, but also the issues of security and what they're dealing with in regards to issues they see on the seaway, as well as on Lake Erie itself. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to come together here, is to talk about our security issues when it comes to the green light law. As you remember, before COVID-19 and the crisis took hold, there were many of us that were spending a lot of time and attention to this issue of the lack of cooperation between the state officials and the federal officials. And essentially now it is a Class E felony to share information with our state officials, with our federal customs and other folks that are in the enforcement and security business. And I got to tell you, it's having direct impacts on our security here. It's having a direct impact on the safety of our officers that keep us safe at the borders, because they do not have the ability to share that real-time intelligence and that real-time information to make sure that when the people come up, there's some identification known, that the risk that have been identified through intelligence gathering that used to be readily shared from the 9/11 lessons that we learned, where folks are communicating and coordinating with each other in law enforcement, that doesn't happen anymore. And actually, because of the Class C felony status that the state has put on the sharing of that information, it's had a chilling effect in regards to the ability to keep us safe. And that is dangerous. That extremism must be stood up to, and must be fixed. And it has a direct impact on people. When we talk about the Trusted Traveler Program and the inability to process these claims and these applications, it puts a real burden on folks that are going back and forth to Canada on a regular basis, because the national officials can't do their job of securing the border by not having the information available to them that was used to be readily exchanged and given to each other. So we call on the state to step up in regards to, let's work together, let's recognize we're on the same team, and that the state and federal officials should be sharing this information, sharing it in a readily accessible manner, and to keep to make sure that our people are safe. And so we're here today to talk about that issue. And without further ado, love to have Rob Ort, our state Senate leader on the Republican side of the state, come up and say a few words.
Thank you, Senator.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good to be with everybody. I actually forgot I had my sunglasses on there. I was I was sitting there. I want to thank the congressman and his team for putting this together. I certainly want to echo support and thanks for the U.S. Coast Guard. I think that's always important for elected officials. I was not able to be on the boat this morning, but I know my colleague George Borrello and Andy Goodell were, and I'm sure the congressman agrees. It's always good as elected officials to actually be out and try to see what the men and women who wear a uniform do every day to protect us. And it's easy to sometimes forget, you know, we know about the Coast Guard, but, you know, to be out there and when we're making laws that impact their job and not only impact their safety, but the safety of the folks that they are sworn to protect, I think that, you know, it's good to have elected leaders like the congressman who are willing to go out there and try to get their side and see how it's actually impacting in real time. Because when these laws are passed, like the green light law, we know that the Coast Guard and federal authorities were not consulted at all. They will tell you that. They told us that in Albany at a briefing. They were not consulted one iota on this bill, which is a trend. Because then when you look at the criminal justice reforms that were passed, like the bail law changes, police agencies across the country, even district attorneys, were not consulted on those laws. So the problem is you have legislation that's being crafted. They've already decided, the majorities in this case, the Senate Democrats, the Assembly Democrats, they've already decided what the law is going to be, and they're not interested in talking to the folks who are charged with enforcing it, or are impacted with the inability to enforce and do their jobs the same way. And I think it is important for New Yorkers to understand how this is being implemented, the fact that information is not being shared, and the goal is for information not to be shared. I think that's an important part of this. That is the I always said the green light law is functioning exactly as the folks who drafted it want it to function. They don't want the information to be shared. Because unfortunately, we live in a moment here in New York State where the majorities are more concerned with people who are breaking laws, whether they're here illegally, whether they've committed a crime, you know, whether it's assault, looting, riot, whatever it is, they are more concerned with the rights and protections of those folks who put the public safety at risk than they are with the laws of the land and with the people who are charged with protecting the public. And there's got to be certainly more of a balance than there's been. And this law, to me, was sort of the first harbinger of what we've seen since then, with just a disregard for those who protect us and more of a focus on those who have broken our laws. And again, that's the point, is to protect that group of folks. And I credit the congressman. He has been on this issue from day one. And we need to make sure we keep talking about it, because of the fact that regardless of the fact that it's law, as he just pointed out, the Coast Guard and the men and women who are out there every day, and we heard from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and we heard from a host of federal agencies who are telling us this law is absolutely handicapping our ability to protect New York, let alone Americans nationwide. And that is a problem. That is exactly what the Senate Republicans and the Assembly Republicans no doubt said would happen. And that is what is happening. So I appreciate everyone for coming out. I do think, and I'll put this to the congressman, I think we should do all press conferences between May and September right here, because this is a great location, maybe a few degrees cooler. But with that, I will ask my colleague in the Senate from the Southern Tier, a new senator who's doing a fantastic job and someone who's been outspoken on this issue, Senator George Borrello, to come up.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, thank you, Leader Ort, for being here, for the introduction. Thank you, Congressman Reed, for your diligence on this topic. You know, I come from a unique perspective. I live here on Lake Erie on the water. I own businesses on the water. And, you know, when I was talking to Captain Littlejohn, she was telling me about some of the issues that they have. And one of the issues is definitely the fact that they are hamstrung in their law enforcement abilities. The green light law it does not allow them to access information like the hull numbers and to determine who is that, does that boat belong to, if it's a New York State hull number. This is politics over safety. This is pandering to an extreme radical group for political benefits. It's part of the agenda-driven politics we see in Albany, you know, and it's certainly part of Albany's war on our law enforcement officials at all levels, federal all the way down to local officials. So this cannot be tolerated. The people of New York State, the American people, have to say you have to set aside politics, set aside this divisive, agenda-driven agenda that ultimately is going to lead to us being less safe here in New York, whether it's on the streets of New York City where we've seen spikes in crime, or it's out here where we're trying to protect this vast, unsecure border from human trafficking, drug trafficking, all the other things that go on when our law enforcement is hamstrung. We are at a point now where it has gotten so dangerous that the quality of life here in New York State and the safety of our citizens is greatly at risk. That has to change. Set aside politics, set aside the agenda-driven issues, and start going with protecting New Yorkers first. And that starts with repealing the green light law. So thank you again for your diligence. Thank you for all that you've done to speak out on this topic. And I'd like to introduce my colleague in the Assembly, also from Chautauqua County, Andy Goodell.
I thank all of you for being here at this lighthouse. Special thanks to the Coast Guard, who shared with us their challenges and their success as well. A lot of people don't realize that already this year, this Coast Guard unit has saved over 70 lives. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment. And behind me, of course, is a historic lighthouse, which for decades served as a navigational aid and guided people to safety. And the lighthouse and its role in guiding people to safety is analogous to the right role of government. Government should be focused on people's safety. We need to have a safe society for us to prosper. But for the last couple years, the Democrat majority has lost sight of the need to provide guidance toward ensuring safety for law-abiding residents. So they make driver's licenses available to people who are here illegally. Because they're here illegally, they make the data about the issuance of their license confidential, because otherwise you would be able to identify who was here illegally. But they didn't stop there. They made everybody's identity confidential. And they made it a felony for law enforcement in New York State to share that information with their federal colleagues. So what's that mean to Buffalo? Normally, absent COVID, Buffalo benefits from an incredible amount of cross-border traffic. Canadians coming here to visit our malls, to enjoy our waterfront, to help support our local economy, but also others, not just Canadians, New Yorkers and others crossing that border. And when a New Yorker comes up to the border and the border officer says, "Who are you? Where are you from? And where are you going?" I got news for you. Under the old system, he already knew who the car was registered to. He wasn't asking because he wanted to know who was registered to the car. He wanted to know if you knew whether you were stealing the car, or whether you were lying about your identity, or whether you were fleeing from law enforcement. And that tool is now gone. And with that tool being gone, the residents in Buffalo and throughout New York State are living in a more dangerous world. And imagine this: arresting a fellow law enforcement officer for a felony because you shared critical identification information with that officer to help him solve a murder, or drug trafficking, or human trafficking, or other serious crime. This assault on law enforcement has taken unprecedented proportions in New York State. And you see the results. Violent crimes here in Buffalo are increasing by double-digit percentages. Double-digit percentages. Does that make people feel safer to live here? We are putting the rights of criminals above the rights of law enforcement and the rights of people here in Buffalo to live in a safe, secure community. just as this lighthouse provided guidance and focused on help people maintain safety and get to a safe harbor, it is time that New York State redirect its focus to focusing on what we can do to make our communities safer and to protect those that we have taken an oath to serve and protect. Thank you for being here, and I'm hopeful that our Assembly colleagues change their focus from helping those who are here illegally and those who are breaking the law to focus on those who are here lawfully who need and deserve a safe community. Thank you.
Well, it used to be a seamless exchange of information. So if you had a registered boat from New York State, because you got to register your boat in New York and things like that, that information was shared as part of the law enforcement component of what the Coast Guard and other partners in law enforcement working with them do. And so when they would come up, for example, they would know, who is that boat? So like if someone's, say, yep, just someone right here. Coast Guard goes up, see some suspicious activity, they roll up on there, or they see somebody in distress, and they would already know from the information, because it's being shared in real time, who that individual had the boat is registered to, who is the owner of that boat. So if you came up onto that boat, for example, and you started asking questions, and then all of a sudden the stories don't match, that reaffirms the suspicious activity that's going on associated with that activity. Because why would you lie about if you're the owner or non-owner of the boat? And so it was a tool that they had in the arsenal in order to do that law enforcement activity. They can't access it. And actually, if they're doing that, they are subject to criminal prosecution as law enforcement officers of a felony prosecution for being engaged in that activity.
Mm-hmm.
All part of the.
They
can't. That information cannot be shared between New York State and the federal officials. That's how ludicrous and extreme this law is. This has gone to a level that is putting not only people at risk. That's the priority, but also think about what that does to law enforcement. It puts law enforcement at risk because they don't know who they're coming up on. They don't know who they're coming up to engage with. And I'll tell you, COVID-19 has put a stop in regards to the going back and forth and things like that. So obviously we've had a lull as a result of that. But COVID-19 is not going to be with us forever. And this is going to come back on board. Now is the time for Albany to get its act straight, be more reasonable in its policies, in my humble opinion, and recognize that law enforcement at the federal level is not an enemy, it is an ally. And it goes both ways. And we should be reforming these laws, repealing these laws, to make sure that these risks to law enforcement and to our people are mitigated today before the lights are turned back on when COVID-19 is taken care of. Yeah, so obviously there were communications and talks going on, and that was good. And we were working behind the scenes to try to collaborate and to encourage that type of dialogue. Obviously with COVID-19, that has obviously been put on a back burner, but that's why we're here today, is to say these issues are still there, need to be addressed, and hopefully given the positive nature of where those conversations were, we can build off of that going forward. My position would be, New York, just do what's right. Repeal this. This is just dangerous, and the consequences of it are so high that you need to just do the right thing and repeal it. Now, as to what compromise they can work out, I'll let them negotiate that between each other. That's for them to decide. But ultimately, I'm going to come down the side of law enforcement and making sure that our people, our residents, are protected in regards to anything that they discuss. And I do know repealing the law will accomplish that. So that's what my position would be in this situation. I would.
It's, in light of the current political landscape, the answer is simple, zero, right? But the congressman's not wrong to call for the repeal. He's spot on, and this should be a major issue over the next several months and beyond, because, you know, he talked about law enforcement, federal law enforcement, as an ally. But it's an ally to the people of New York. It's an ally to the United States. Their agenda is the protection of the public. The majority's agenda is the protection of people who are here both illegally and also, as it turns out, in implementation, protection of people who are committing illegal acts, even beyond being here illegally. And that's what we heard from several law enforcement over the last several months since this was passed. This goes far beyond just being here illegally, even if you're engaged in illegal activity on this side of the border. Again, that lack of information, that lack of sharing, makes it very difficult, if not next to impossible, for them to do their job. And those are two very different agendas, and I will always come down on the agenda of protecting New Yorkers, protecting the public. Every elected official will tell you that's my first priority, or at least they used to. Today, there's an increasing wing of the Democratic Party that apparently feels the goal is to actually protect people from the authorities. That's a very different narrative, and it's one that I know the congressman and my colleagues over here have been pushing back on.
And just so we're clear here, because I want to add to this. So the positive conversations was really primarily focused on the Trusted Traveler program, mm-hmm. and how to make sure those applications could proceed. What we're talking about here is law enforcement working with each other, and I don't know how you negotiate between the federal government and the state government when the state government has classified that activity that you're negotiating on is a Class E felony. That is a law. The governor doesn't have the ability to now say, oh, well, it's no longer a Class E felony. He signed that into law. So you are going to have to repeal this law for any of this stuff to be able to be discussed between the federal and state government. That is now a roadblock that maybe they didn't think about when they passed it, but that is the reality of the situation. And I don't know a law enforcement officer, man or woman, in law enforcement that's going to put their career at risk of being subject to a felony prosecution for sharing information because Governor Cuomo and officials at the federal level negotiated and shook hands. That to me is a dangerous position to put our men and women in law enforcement in.
It's not just border security, although that's certainly very important, but it's responding to crime in general. Well, let me just give you a simple example. Let's say you have a shooting with multiple victims, and the witness saw the car or got the license plate number, and you have federal officials, for whatever reason, are in the neighborhood, and you want all hands on deck to catch or stop an active shooting, the local police cannot tell the federal officials, law enforcement officials, who the car was registered, what their name was, what the driver or the owner looks like, or where their address is. Does that make sense to any of you? If we're responding to an active shooting or to serious crime, we want everyone to be on the same page, have all the relevant access, and do whatever they can to stop and address that issue.
No access. No access. Local authorities do. So if you want to just, and that was the lesson of 9/11. 9/11, it was a fragmented system. You had the local jurisdictions, you had the different areas that were not sharing information for whatever reason, and you saw the results of it. You saw the thousands of deaths that, as a result of it that that occurred. And in this situation, go ahead, Andy, please.
It's great the state police had the information, but the state police don't have a fault.
Well, you can take care of it. I see that phone right there. Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
They'd be charged with a felony. That's the rub. That's the lunacy of what we're talking about here.
What else happened? You talk about the locals? No one says that anymore, right? The locals, Tim, to your question, that they had the access, they had to sign a waiver, though, to get the access, that they a waiver that said they would not share. So they weren't just granted the access. They were put under the thumb and said, if you want the access, you got to sign a waiver that you will not share with the Coast Guard, that you will not share with Border Patrol, that you will not share with ICE. So, you know, they don't even have a choice really in the matter, because they have to sign that waiver, which now if they do share, they would lose that access. That's the other aspect. So it's not granted just under any circumstance in the law. It was granted upon the condition of signing the waiver.
Okay.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
So when we were in Albany and we met with Customs and Border Protection, you know, they said the very first thing they do in any law enforcement stop is, whether it's a boat or any kind of a vehicle, the first thing they do is run the numbers, the plates. That's the very first thing they do. They no longer have access to that information from New York. Today, when we were talking to our members of the Coast Guard here, we asked them, what's coming across this lake? Cash, human beings, and drugs. Cocaine moving north and marijuana moving south. And people coming from other countries that have been victims of human trafficking. This is a serious offense. People think of the border with Mexico, but this is an active border for crime as well. And, you know, the congressman brings up, you know, when we open up the bridges again, that it's going to increase. But right now, here's your access. And as we all know, criminals aren't fond of following the law. So do they really care that the border is shut down? They're moving across this water probably at a greater pace, because it's the way to get the need and demand for the drugs is not down. In fact, it's up right now. So that back and forth is going to continue. And this lake is a key component in that trafficking. And that is the part that has been sacrificed for politics, which is shameful.
One of the neat programs that the Coast Guard has is a program in cooperation with the Canadian government where they'll have a Royal Mounted Canadian on board a U.S. Coast Guard boat and a Coast Guard employee officer on a Canadian boat. And in that manner, it doesn't matter exactly where the international border is, nor who they're stopping, because the Canadian officer will share the Canadian database as necessary to help out on a U.S. boat, and the U.S. officer can share U.S. information while on a Canadian boat, except for New York data.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.